Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for those words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight, we're going to do a sharing on breaking through a barrier. And we'll see it's done by different individuals in the Word. And this is a picture of the sound barrier. And so many times in life, you'll get into a position where it feels like that's as far as you can go, and you feel helpless. But you got to keep penetrating, and like what they've got to do, it looks like you can't bust through it. And all of a sudden, it's like a bubble. And if you keep pushing the barriers, it will break, and you will penetrate through it. So we're going to look at people and examples of doing that. And so this is for Kelly's people, and for people who are going to do things, because Yahweh's word says you can do things. So most people, instead of acting, they react. And so we're going to see people acting instead of reacting. So we're going to begin with Elijah. Life has troubles. We're going to do things, and prophets have troubles too. And we're going to do things that were not expected. And there was no revelation that it was going to happen. And there was no revelation, it appears, of what to do immediately. But the difference is they acted. And so 1 Kings 17, verse 15.
Give me a second, okay?
All right.
What verse did you say?
15.
Yeah, 15.
372.
1 Kings 15.
17:15.
Sorry.
And this is the story context is Elijah. El is Yah, is what his name means, as was told to go get food and water from a prince or a king. Well, it's from a widow. Well, why would a widow, because we've stopped the rain for 3.5 years so far, why would I go to her house? And they end up going to her house, as you know. 15. So she went, we'll go 13. And Elijah said unto her, do not fear, go in, make ready according to thy word, howbeit make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it out to me. And this is so important. She has no more food. And now, okay, you're going to serve me first, and then you're going to be served. And that is a faith walk. And for thyself, my son, make ready afterwards. For thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail. So he says, if you do this, here's what the results are going to be. So she's got to believe what he says. Until that day, Yahweh giveth rain upon the face of the ground. So she went and made ready according to the word of Yahweh, and did eat, she and he, and her house, certain days. Okay, things are looking pretty good. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, owner of the house, fell sick. Now this isn't supposed to happen. You're supposed to be blessing this house. Fell sick, and it came to pass that his sickness was very severe until, you know, obviously he probably tried to minister to him unless he was away. Until no breath was left in him. Then said she unto Elijah, what have I common with thee, O man of Elohim? Hast thou come unto me to call to remembrance my iniquity and to cause the death of my son? Is Yahweh notified Elijah that this is going to happen? No, this is not supposed to happen. And so here's the barrier. This is bad. I move into this woman's house. They're getting food and her son dies. It looks like I'm a curse. So here's the barrier. Now what? Let's have a funeral. He's in heaven. There's a purpose for this. And that's what our regular actions would be. But look what he did. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him unto the upper room where he was staying and laid him upon his own bed. Then cried he unto Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, my Elohim, even upon the widow with whom I am sojourning, hast thou brought misfortune by causing the death of her son? But he's acting. He's pushing through the barrier. And he stretched himself out upon the boy three times. Did Yahweh tell him to do that? We don't know. You know, but here it is. Not one time.
Three
times. Not two times. Well, one time it didn't work. Two times it didn't work. The third time, and cried to Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, my Elohim, let the life of this boy, I pray thee, come again unto him, or the nephesh. And Yahweh hearkened unto the voice of Elijah, and the nephesh, the life of the boy, came again within him, and he lived. Then Elijah took the boy and carried him down out of the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, Now then I know that a man of Elohim thou art, and that the word of Yahweh is in thy mouth of a truth. A person pushing through the barrier. So we've got to be so in the same situation, used as a model. Now we go to Elijah, 2 Kings, chapter 4, 17.
4, 17.
Now, obviously, Elijah probably told this to Elisha. They had not teamed up as of yet of these incidences, but 4:17. Well, here is him being proactive, too. This is starting 4:13. So this woman has blessed Elisha, and he said, What can I do to bless her? Did he get a revelation? No. You know, and so we're waiting for revelation at times and we don't have a revelation. But he's thinking, what should I do to bless her? And he said to him, I pray thee, say unto her, Lo, thou hast cared for us with all this anxious care, and what can be done for thee? Is it that we should speak for thee unto the king or unto the general of the army? Okay, these are national things, rational things to think about. But she said, In the midst of my own people do I dwell. So he said, What thing can be done for thee? And Gehazi, I said, Verily she hath no son, and her husband is old. Well, that's a problem. You know, speaking to the king would be a lot easier than to give her that. And he said, Call her. So something clicked. So he's trying to do it, and all of a sudden a revelation came after Gehazi. I said that. So we've got to be ready at all times. All of a sudden you're like, what can I do for this woman? And somebody goes, well, what about this? And you go, bing.
Yeah.
And he just went, bing. That was a revelation. Amen. So he called her, and he stood in the doorway. And then he said, At this season, at the time of spring, thou shalt be embracing a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of Elohim, do not delude thy maidservant. And the woman conceived and bare a son. So that was breaking through a barrier. At this season, about the time of spring, when Elijah had said unto her, What a blessing. They lived happily ever after.
Nope.
Oh, God. And when the child was grown, it came to pass on a certain day that he went unto his father, unto the reapers, and he said unto his father, My head, my head. So he said unto the young man, Carry him to his mother. And when he had carried him and brought him unto his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. God, that just got to be a heartbreaking.
Yeah.
On your lap, your son dies. No more breath. Did she quit? No, she's going to go through a barrier. So here's a barrier. Okay, what do I do? Go get a doctor. Well, it's a little late for a doctor. Your son's dead. No, I'm going to go to Elisha.
Amen.
And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim. Here's action. And shut him in, and then went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run into the man of Elohim and return. She didn't go tell her husband he died. She's off to solve the problem. And he said, Wherefore art thou going unto him today, neither new moon or Sabbath? But the junior died. I'm just going to go. I'll be right back. We're going to raise him from the dead. And she said, What? Peace. Shalom. Then Saul shook his ass and said unto the young man, lead on, go forward, do not slacken for my sake the riding except I have bidden thee. Now you have to understand, if these people did not act, what would the result have been?
Death.
Elijah, the son, would be dead.
Yeah.
That's it. He's dead. That's it. And she's a widow now, and without a child to support her.
Take care of her.
In this particular situation, he would die, and they would mourn, and that would be it. So how many times in our lives have we accepted as a reality a condition instead of penetrating and pushing through it? You know, and obviously there are certain things that are going to happen. Everybody's going to go to sleep at some time. Premature death is not supposed to be that way. So, you know, when should I be pushing through? Well, when there's something that's not supposed to be happening. So here's premature death. 24, then Saul sheathed the ass and said unto her young man, lead on and go forward, do not slacken for my sake to write except I have bidden thee. So she went away, went her way, and came unto the man of Elohim under Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of Elohim saw her opposite, that he said unto Gehazi, the young man, lo, this Shunammite is. Her son has died. Let's go heal him. No, he doesn't have a revelation. Now run, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she said, well. Okay, so no revelation. There's no warning from Yahweh. So let's see how he handles this problem. And when she came unto the man of Elohim on the ground, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi drew near to thrust her away, when the man of Elohim said, let her alone, for her life is embittered to her, howbeit Yahweh hath hidden it from me and hath not told me. So he's still, there's a problem. And but Yahweh has not told him. Then said she, did I ask a son of my Lord? Said I not, I must not mislead me. And he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins. And so he's taking a staff. Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. Is Yahweh telling him to do this? No, but he's doing something.
Yeah, exactly.
Take my staff. If thou meet with any man, thou must not bless him. And if any man bless thee, thou must not respond to him. Then shall thou lay my staff upon the face of the boy. But the mother of the boy said, by the life of Yahweh and by the life of thine own soul, I will not leave thee. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi had passed on before them, but he's still acting. He's always acting before them, and laid his staff on the face of the boy, but there was neither voice nor attention. So he returned to meet him and told him, saying, the boy hath not awakened. Awake. And when Elijah had come into the house, lo, the boy was dead, laid upon his bed. So he went in and shut the door upon him, this is phase two, and prayed unto Yahweh. Then get he up and laid upon the child, and put his own mouth upon his mouth, and his own eyes upon his eyes. It's similar to what Elijah did.
Yeah.
And his own mouth upon his hands, and bowed himself upon him, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then, you know, he was working at this.
Mm-hmm.
Then returned he and walked in the house once to and fro. Whoop, not happening.
Yeah.
No? He's pushing through the sound barrier. And the boy sneezed as many as seven times, and the boy opened his eyes, then called he gaze. I said, call the Shunammitess. So he called her, and when she was in that, when came in unto him, he said, take up thy son. So she came in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went forth. Well, isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
That is our examples of pushing forward. Now we're going to look at Esther, Queen Esther, Hadassah, which is, we're going to go to Esther chapter 3.
Esther 2. You said 3?
Yes.
195?
Esther chapter 3.
What page is that?
495.
What?
495.
Verse 8. We all know, we should know about, you know, Hadassah, and we would say the Persian name is Esther. Haman is trying to kill all the Jews. Satan's trying to kill all the Jews. So we're going to look at that. Then said Haman unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people throughout all the province of thy kingdom, whose laws are diverse of every people, and the laws of thy kingdom they observe not, for the king thereof is not fit to suffer them. If unto the king it seem good, let it be written to destroy them, and 10,000 talents of silver will I weigh out upon the hands of them who are doing the business to bring into the treasury of the king. That's so cold. And so the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the adversary of the Jews. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is granted of thee, and the people to do with him as they may seem good in thy eyes. Okay, that's the story. Now we go to chapter 4, 1 through 4. So he's saying, kill all the Jews. Now, how does Esther, how does Mordecai handle this revelation? You know, they're going to push through to Yahweh. When Mordecai came to know all that had been done, Mordecai rent his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and went forth into the midst of the city and cried out with an outcry loud and bitter. So we know about that. Phase 1, 8 chapter, or verse 8. Also, a copy of the writing, the edict which had been given in Shushan to destroy them, gave he unto him to show unto Esther. Okay, so Esther is being informed right now. We'll kind of go to let me see here. Then they told Mordecai the words of Esther. Esther said, I can't see the king. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, do not think in thy own soul to escape in the house of the king from among all the Jews. But if thou do indeed hold thy peace at this time, respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish, and who knoweth whether for a time such as this thou hast attained unto this royal estate. So we have to remember, with all of us, many times we're going to be at the right time, at the right place, with the right ability that Yahweh's given it to, just like Esther. Yeah. And you'll be able to say, what are the odds? I'm here at the right time, and I've got the answers to handle this problem. Then Esther commanded to answer Mordecai, go, gather ye all the Jews who are to be found in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither to eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or 3 days, nights, nor day, and I and my maids will fast so, and in this manner will I go unto the king, though it be not according to the law, and when I have perished, I have perished. So does she know what she's doing? No. But she is pushing on instead of saying, we're all dead, you know, like chickens with their heads cut off. They go ahead and proceed. So Mordecai departed and did according to all that Esther had charged him. Now, so that was, you know, we had step one, it went to a fast. Step two, let's see here. We're going to go to chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and took into the inner court of the house of the king, over against the house of the king. And the king was sitting upon his royal seat in the royal house, over against the opening of the house. So here it comes. I'm either going to die or fulfill step two. And it came to pass when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his eyes, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hands. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Okay, phase two is all right. Got the king's attention. Phase three. As we know, she asked for him and Haman to come to a meeting. This was not the meeting where she was going to tell him what the problem was. Well, let's look at 7. Then answered Esther and said, "As touching my petition and my request, if I have found favor in thy eyes of the king, and if unto the king it seemed good to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king with Haman come in unto the banquet which I prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do according to the word of the king." So she's doing the banquet. And so this had to be by revelation, whether she realized it or not. But it's not going to solve the problem right away. And when, you know, so that's stage three. If she would have, at that particular time, said, "Haman's trying to kill all of us," it might have been to no avail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you got to realize there's a step here. So when we're being led, make sure we don't outrun the leading. The leading says go this far. Well, I want to get the end result. No, just go where I tell you to go, and we're going to go through steps. And so let's see here. 6, 7, and 8. We got that. And step 4, we'll go chapter 8. Yeah, well, no, let's just go back to step 3.
I want to save his
yeah.
life.
It's 6, verse 1. So, okay, Haman and the king are invited to wine. "During that night, the sleep of the king fled, and he commanded to bring in the book of the remembrance, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written, however, that Mordecai had told concerning Bigthana and Teresh, the two eunuchs of the king guarding the threshold, who had sought to thrust forth a hand upon the king as their heirs." Two guys are trying to kill the king. Mordecai ahead of time told him. But he didn't know who it was. So it is written, but he's reading this right now. Huh. If Esther had given the final answer to the king, it would outrun this dream, this revelation to the king. "Then said the king, what honor and dignity have been done unto Mordecai for this? Since the young, the king's young men who are ministering unto him, nothing has been done for him." So this is step 3 and 4 that are going forward. And you know the story. Then they go to the banquet. There's another banquet, an eating banquet. And let's go, and that's 8, verse 3. "Yet again spake Esther before the king, and fell down at his feet, and wept, and made supplication unto him to cause the mischief of Haman the Agite to pass away, even the plot which he had plotted against the Jews. And the king held out unto Esther the gold..." Oh, no, that was... That, yeah, so I jumped at one step. Let's see, step 3 is, let's go 7, verse 5 and 6. "Then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, who is now, where is he, where's heart is set to act thus? And Esther said, a man who is adversary and enemy, this wicked Haman. And Haman was terrified before the king and queen." And so, okay, that's the end of Haman. But we still got a problem, because with the Medes and the Persian, if a king puts something in writing, it cannot be undone by anybody. And so they're still going to go out there and kill the Jews. And so then they go into step 5, which is 8. "On that day, did, you know, here she comes in before the king again without his authority, so she could be put to death. And verse 3, "Yet again spake Esther before the king, fell down at his feet and wept and made supplication to cause the mischief of Haman the Agite to pass away, even the plot which had plotted against the Jews." So they end up making an edict. Mordecai is in charge, you know, to make an edict that the Jews can defend themselves. And they send that out. So it goes on and on. But if Mordecai would not have acted and push Esther. So he had to push Esther, because Mordecai could not undo this thing, but Esther was at this time. So he pushed Esther. Esther pushed and did it in different stages in order to deliver the Jews, until now we have Purim. One other one, Daniel, the book of Daniel. So we're looking at people who did not know. They were in very high positions, and Daniel was also in chapter 2, verse 1. He's in the court. " And I guess we don't even need to read that, but we know the king had a dream and said, tell me the dream to the wise men. No, but we'll tell you the interpretation. You tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. He said, no, if you're really being operated by God, then you know the dream also. So he really called their hand, which is great. And they couldn't. So he said, kill them all, which included Daniel. Well, okay, we're going to get into, 12 through 16, chapter 2. For this cause the king was provoked and exceedingly indignant and gave word to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth, and the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his companions, they might be slain. Okay. This is the beginning of step one. Immediately Daniel made answer with prudence and discretion to Arioch, chief of the executioner of the king, who had come forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He began to speak and said to Arioch, the king's captain, for what cause is the decree raging forth from before the king? And so he doesn't know. And so he's a prophet of Yahweh, but he hasn't got this information. Then Arioch made the matter known unto Daniel. So Daniel entered and desired of the king that at an appointed time he would give him. Did he have the answer?
No.
No. Is he pushing? Instead of save our lives, let us flee, let us run. No. He's going to walk into a situation of, I'm going to push on this barrier, that he would give him, and then the interpretation he would declare unto the king. So he also said, I'm going to tell you the interpretation. Do I know it? No. Has Yahweh said he's going to give me the interpretation? No. But he must, because of who Yahweh is. Otherwise, we're all going to die. Then Daniel to his own house departed, and to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, made the matter known that tenders were hung they might seek from before the God of the heavens concerning this secret, and Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So he's getting people in their prayer groups. Let's go. Then unto Daniel, in a vision of the night, the secret was revealed. And so he walked into it in faith, saying, okay, you got to give this to him, because I promised the king I'm going to do this. And as you know, he ended up getting that. Let me see. Not only that, 48 and 49, he gets promoted.
Yeah.
You know, so something that was life and death now is second in the kingdom. It's like with Joseph, with the king of Egypt. 48, and the king exalted Daniel, and many large presents gave he unto him, and set him before to be ruler over all the province of Babylon, and chief of the nobles over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, what a way to break through. And I think of going through the sound barrier, this is called a sonic boom. That's where you hear the sonic boom. But once you go through it, guess what? You can really go.
And it's smooth.
Yeah, it's smooth. You can really penetrate and go really fast. And so it, not only did Daniel break through, Yahweh break through with him, now, guess what?
Smooth sailing.
You're up here. And so we saw that with Mordecai, got promoted.
Wow.
Esther got promoted. Everybody, instead of being annihilated, advanced in the highest position. It just, our adversary has to be so disgruntled, where I'm going to wipe everybody out, instead...
promoted.
They're even closer to the king. It backfired completely.
Yeah.
49, and Daniel desired of the king, and he appointed over the business of the province of Babylon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel himself was in the gate of the king. So here it is. People breaking through. One last one. Okay, the Apostle Paul, Acts 20. This is not supposed to happen. At a service, somebody dies. At the service. Well, that's... Yahweh didn't tell me that. Chapter 20, and verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul went on to discourse with them, being about to depart on the morrow, and he prolonged his discourse until midnight. Now there was a good many torches in the upper room where we were gathered together, and there sat a certain young man by name of Eutychus. In the window, he was getting overpowered by a deep sleep. God. It would have been nice to tell me, okay, Eutychus, wake up, wake up, get out. Get out of that window. Now, that would have been preventative.
Yeah.
And how many times have we done things, whether we realize it or not, that were preventative? And since it prevented an incident, we never saw the incident happen, and we never saw the prophet. But it would have, if we would have not intervened at that particular time, a catastrophe would have happened.
Yeah.
And so how many times that Paul has done things to avoid any catastrophe, but no catastrophe happened, which means there's no record.
Yeah.
Because it never happened. But in this particular case, he's fallen asleep. This is not good. And while Paul was discoursing it further, being overpowered by sleep, he fell from the third story down, guy in your church service, and was taken up dead. Okay, boys, that's sad. We better do a funeral right now. No. Going down, however, Paul fell upon him and embraced him. This is what Smith Wigglesworth would do. So we have to remember, are we ready to penetrate? Well, I've never done this before. One thing is, if I act and it doesn't happen, what's the harm?
Yeah.
What's the harm? The person's still dead. If I don't act, the person's dead. That's all there is to it. If I do act, there's a chance that something can come about and break through that barrier. Going down, which Paul did, fell upon him and embraced him, said, "Be not making confusion, for his soul is in him." And going up and breaking the loaf, and stayed for a good while, also conversing until dawn, thus he departed, and they brought the boy, what, alive. So people could say, well, he wasn't dead, no. And they brought the boy alive and were comforted beyond measure. So, those are examples to be in fellowship. And so, obviously, preventative is better than anything else.
Yeah.
So sometimes you could be going to work a certain way, and you always go to work this certain way, and for some reason you divert for some particular reason, and you went and got a coffee instead, and you went to work, and you didn't realize you avoided a head-on collision, because a head-on collision never happened because you diverted. So remember those things, be in tuned, follow the desires of your heart, be in communion with it, but if something does happen, with all these people, they were not ready for this. People dying, people dying, and then here's the last thing, it died also. I'm not ready for that, but other people have done it and have shown us the way.
Yeah.
So with Yahweh, all things are possible.
Amen.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and end and have a prophecy for the people. But Father, we thank you for these words. Do not be upset, but comfort yourself and put your arms around yourself to absorb any kind of brutality that comes against you. Lift yourself up through my word, through song, to enjoy all the life that I've instilled inside of you, to celebrate all that I have given you, to celebrate that I abide within you and my Son abides within you and will separate you from this world at some future time. Amen.